Daniel chapter 9. It's a wonderful truth that the yearning heart of the genuine child of God is to be like Christ. Oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art. The blessed reality is we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We read in 1 John chapter 3. We're continuing our series on the doctrine of eschatology, the doctrine of end things. And what we're doing is trying to define the terms that are found in the Word of God. One of my problems over the years is to think that all the terms mean the same thing. And recently I have been making a study of the various terms that are used in the Word of God. And tonight we begin with Daniel 9 and verse 24, where the angel of the Lord instructs Daniel, and he says, 70 weeks, or a better translation would be 70 sevens, are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be seven sevens, and threescore and two sevens. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after threescore and two sevens shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 7. And in the midst of the seven he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now may the Lord bless this portion of the reading of his word. Let us again look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you to open our hearts, now that we have opened thy word and have read from it. And we do pray, O God, that the words of our hearts, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight, and that we may glean truth that will cause us to have more of a desire to be like thee, like our Lord Jesus, and less conformed to this world. Therefore, we ask you to minister to us in this hour for Jesus' sake. Amen. Daniel chapter 9 contains one of the greatest prayers in all of Scripture. It is a prayer of Daniel, and it's a result of an understanding that he had in the Word of God. Daniel was studying the writings of Jeremiah the prophet. In Jeremiah chapter 25, told how long the captivity of Judah would last, that it would last 70 years. Daniel was brought into captivity as a young man. He is now an old man, and he realizes that the time of the captivity is just about over. And he gives himself to confession of sin, the sins of the people, and an exaltation of the righteousness of God in permitting and in bringing the captivity upon the people. And the result of this, Daniel's prayer, Daniel is visited by an angel, and he's given this vision of the 70 weeks of years vision. And we find that these 70 sevens that he speaks about in Daniel chapter 9 will accomplish six things. And you have those six things in verse 24. It will finish the transgression of Israel. It will make an end of sins. It will make reconciliation for iniquity. It will bring in everlasting righteousness. The vision and prophecy will be sealed, and the Most Holy will be anointed. Now, when you think of all those six things that are going to take place in this period of 77s, or a total of 490 years, these are the things that we who believe in this age basically possess. They are the blessings of the new covenant. Reconciliation for sins have been made, and many other things that are ours as recipients of the blessings of the new covenant. Now, 69 of the 77s were accomplished by the time that our Lord died on the cross on Calvary's Hill. The Word of God definitely told us when these 69 sevens would begin. They began with the order that was given to restore and to build Jerusalem, and you find that order in the second chapter of the book of Nehemiah. I almost said the prophecy of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is not a prophetic book, it's a historical book. And you find when they began in the second chapter when Nehemiah is commissioned to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and the city. And exactly 483 years from the time that the commandment went forth by the king to rebuild Jerusalem until our Lord entered Jerusalem as their king and was rejected and nailed to the cross. 483 years, seven sevens or 77s, 7 years each, are 490 years. That leaves 7 years to be fulfilled at a coming time. Now, I've asked a scholar who disagreed with me once, and you may disagree with me anytime you like, by the way, but I asked this scholar one time where he placed the 70th week of Daniel, and he said to me, after the 69th. Well, that's quite evident that it's after the 69th. You see, you can't fit it into anything that took place following the cross. It just doesn't fit. And therefore, the 70th week of Daniel remains to be fulfilled. Now, we are told in verse 27, and verse 27 is the key verse to understand the 70th week of Daniel. And verse 27 speaks of he. He shall confirm the covenant. Who is the he? He is the kind of going to come, according to the previous verse, from the people who destroyed the city and the sanctuary. He's going to come out of Rome. He's going to be out of the Roman Empire. And last Sunday night, we looked at the four world empires that make up the image of Daniel chapter 2 and the visions of Daniel chapter 7 and make up what is known as the times of the Gentiles. Now, therefore, the he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And this 1 week is a 7-year period. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. Now, therefore, when you look at a passage like this, we know when the 70th week of Daniel will begin. It will begin with a person out of Western Europe who is going to be a world leader. He is called in Scripture the Antichrist. He is called in Scripture also the beast. He is called the man of sin. He is called the son of perdition. He is seen in Daniel chapter 7 coming out of the fourth beast as the little horn who makes war with the saints and prevails. We saw that last week. Now, you'll notice according to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27 that this 70th week is divided. It is divided by in the midst. 3.5 years are mentioned. They are mentioned, by the way, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 35. I want you to look back at that for a moment. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 35. Excuse me, 25. Daniel 7, 25. And where we read, and this is a little horn, by the way, this beast, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, 1 year, a times, 2 years, and the dividing of time, 1/2 a year. So you have 3.5 years mentioned here. Now, these 3.5 years that make up 1/2 of Daniel's 70th week are mentioned also in the book of Revelation. So we turn to the book of Revelation chapter 11, and we shall begin there. Revelation chapter 11. Verse 2, where we read concerning the temple and the court. It says, but the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 40 and 2 months. 40 and 2 months are 3.5 years. Verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. 1,260 days equal 3.5 months, or 3.5 years, according to Jewish calendar reckoning. Now, when you get over to chapter 12 and verse 6, we read this, and the woman of this passage is Israel. Israel, who was the means of bringing forth the man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Here we have 3.5 years. Verse 14, we read, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. So you will notice that the time and the times and the half a time of Daniel 7 correspond with God's care for his people in a very unique way during that last half of the 70th week of Daniel. Now, the 70th week of Daniel, we are told very definitely, begins with the covenant that the man of sin will make with the nation of Israel. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. We know that he's going to break the covenant in the middle thereof. God's word says so. And the last half of Daniel's 70th week begins with what is known and spoken of in that 27th verse, the abomination of desolation. Now, the abomination of desolation that is spoken of here equals the great apostasy that took place during the days of Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, this may get a little complicated if you don't know world history. But when Alexander the Great's empire broke up, it was divided, as we noted last week, among his four generals. And there were continuous wars between Egypt, the Ptolemies of Egypt, and between the Assyrians to the north. There were continuous wars. And Antiochus Epiphanes is the little horn of Daniel chapter 8. There's a little horn in Daniel 7. The little horn of Daniel 7 is the future Antichrist. The little horn of Daniel chapter 8 is Antiochus, for he comes out of the Grecian Empire. And it was during his wicked reign, Antiochus' ways was to conquer a people and introduce your customs to them. Make them like you are. That way you can accommodate the land and the people to yourself. The problem with the Jew, they never accepted the customs of any country. They have their own ways. And they have their own ways because they are following the strict means that God gave them when he gave them the Ten Commandments and the other parts of the law when he came out of Egypt. And their main object is a hatred of idolatry. A hatred of idolatry. As the second commandment says, thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image, the likeness of anything in heaven or in earth. And when the Jewish people, many of them accepted Antiochus, but when he took a pig and offered it upon the altar in the temple, there was a rebellion among the Jews. They rebelled. It was idolatry. There were many who went along with Antiochus. And that became what was known as a great apostasy. They went along with it. But there was also a rebellion. And if you read the Apocrypha, that group of books that is not included in our Bible, they're included in the Douay version and others, but they were never acknowledged, even by the rabbis, as part of the canon of Scripture. But if you read the Maccabees give us an account of the wars of Antiochus and the resistance of the various Maccabees and how Antiochus killed their children. It's not the best reading, but nevertheless it's there. It happened in history. Now, just as that was called an abomination, it was an abomination to the Lord, and it was an abomination to the people. The future man of sin, the son of perdition, that we read about in Daniel chapter 9, is going to appear himself with an image in the temple and demand to be worshipped as God. Many are going to do it, and it's going to be the great falling away that he's spoken of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The great apostasy, the great falling away. However, when he does that, it's going to be in the midst of that 7-year period, and it's going to speak the latter half. It's going to inaugurate the latter half of Daniel's 70th week. Now, I hope I've made it's all clear to me, but I don't know if it is to you. So that brings us to the second thing that I want to deal with, and that is the tribulation. So I'd like you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and we want to begin our reading at verse 15. Matthew 24, verse 15, where we read, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet." Now, when our Lord spoke these words to his disciples, Antiochus had already come and gone from the scene. We're not talking about Antiochus, the little horn of Daniel 8. We are talking about the little horn of Daniel 9, for our Lord is explaining the answer to the question of the disciples that they asked him privately in the opening verses of Matthew 24. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? He is answering that question. And when you get to verse 15, he gives a definite time element. There are two in the verse. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." Then. When? Then. "Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house." Don't try to salvage anything. Your life is more important than a TV set. Your life is more important than a tennis racket. Your life is more important than a lot of the toys that we play with. Let him not come down to take anything out of his house. Then it says, "Neither let him which is in the field turn back to get his clothes." No time to pack a suitcase. "And woe unto them that are with child." You know how difficult it is for a person who has a baby. You've got to take this, and you have to take that, and you have to take something else along to care for a child. Our Lord says, "Woe unto them that are with child, and they that are nursing in that day. But pray," he says, "that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." They who observe the Sabbath, if it's so difficult to move on the Sabbath day. Now this has real meaning. You remember that when Syria and Egypt had the war against Israel, the last one that they had when Israel whipped them, you remember when they struck? They struck when the Jews were in the midst of one of their holy days, Yom Kippur. It was a Yom Kippur war. When they were worshiping, that's when the army struck to get them by surprise. And Israel was taken by surprise. And so you can understand a verse like this. "Pray that your flight be not in the winter." You know how difficult it is to drive sometimes if you have a snowstorm. And if you, especially if you're fleeing. "And pray that it won't be on the Sabbath day." Things shut down in Israel on the Sabbath day. You see. And then he says, notice verse 21, "For then..." There's the time element again. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Then, here's another time element. Is another time element. "Then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." You see, our Lord is answering the question, "What shall be the sign of thy coming?" This morning I pointed out that there are three great signs. There was a sign of the first advent of Christ, Isaiah 7:14. "The Lord shall give you a sign, a virgin shall be with child, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." And the sign for the first coming, the first advent of our Lord, is the virgin birth of his son. No one should mistake it. Then there's a sign of his redemptive program. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And there shall be a sign for the coming of the Lord, as we read this morning, and we'll read again shortly here in Matthew 24. Now, in order that no one is mistaken, remember he said, "Whoso readeth, let him understand." He expects us to take time and understand these things are going to be very plain in a coming day. Now, he says, then, at that time when you have to flee, then, if any man shall say unto you, "Lo, here is the Christ," or "There, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders." You know, it amazes me when people go after the so-called signs and wonders movement of our day. It shows that people want this sort of thing. "They shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." In other words, he's saying, you don't need to look in any secret place when the Son of Man comes. Everybody will know it. There'll be no mistaking the coming of the Lord. That's what he's saying. He says, "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then, there's a time element, and then shall appear the sign. That's what they asked for. "What shall be the sign of thy coming?" Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven unto the other. Now may the Lord bless again the reading of his word. The Greek word for tribulation or affliction that is translated tribulation in our English Bibles is thlipsis. And it's found 45 times in the New Testament. Now, this word, tribulation, is most always translated in non-prophetic settings. Non-prophetic. For instance, the last verse of John 16, the Lord says to his own, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In Romans chapter 5, you remember, "Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Out of all the times, 45 times that this Greek word appears in our English New Testament, only 6 verses can be clearly identified as using the word tribulation in a prophetic context. Only 6 of them. Now, there are 2 more that probably could be prophetic. In the Romans chapter 2. Let's look at Romans 2 for a moment. Because Romans chapter 2, verses 2 through 9, and we're dealing here with the manner in which God is going to judge man in a coming day. The means that God is going to employ. He's going to be judged according to truth. It's according to truth, verse 2. And then it's according to deeds, following. And when you get to verse 9, he speaks in verse 8, but to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. Now you could apply that to a prophetic sect, put it into a prophetic setting, if you realize that the tribulation period, and this time is also called in Scripture the time of Jacob's trouble, to the Jew first. But remember, the Gentile is also included, and also to the Gentile. Now there's a second time that this word tribulation is used, that it possibly could have a prophetic setting, and it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And it's verse 6, where we read, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation on them that trouble you. But it's hard to put those verses, the one in Romans 2 and the one in 2 Thessalonians 1, into a prophetic setting. It's difficult. So that leaves us with 6 times that the word tribulation is placed in a prophetic setting. And these 6 times that it's put into a prophetic setting, the passages are clear concerning the time involved. 4 of these appear in the Gospels, in the teaching of our Lord, and the 5th appears in the book of the Revelation. So we have here this word, tribulation. It is an interesting word. It means to be pressed in on every side. And of course, through much tribulation, Paul said to the Christians at Lystra and Derbe and Iconia in the 14th chapter of Acts, through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. We're living in a day when people think you enter the kingdom of God on roller skates. We do. We have an idea in the church today that everything is rosy if you just say, Christ is my Savior. And there's no life to it at all. Beloved, there's more to Christianity and there's more to being saved than a mere little confession that other people acknowledge. Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom of God. And once a person is saved, they have more tribulation than they had before. Many times. Many times our troubles only begin after they come clean with God in genuine trust in the Son of God for salvation. Now, the time of the tribulation is, we are definitely told, there was a time in my life when I equated the tribulation period with Daniel's 70th week. And upon examining this portion of the word, this word tribulation, I can no longer do that. The Word of God tells us when Daniel's 70th week begins. It begins with a covenant. The Word of God in the New Testament tells us when the tribulation begins. It begins when this man of sin enters the temple of the Jews and claims that he is God. That's when the tribulation begins. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation. Then let him that is in Judea flee. Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the foundation of the world. And I believe that the time of the tribulation takes place in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, that final seven that Daniel was instructed of, and especially as outlined in verse 27. Now, with the word tribulation is also the adjective great. Our Lord said something. We don't read in Romans 2, the great tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man. You don't read that adjective great in Romans 2, or in 1 Thessalonians 1 or 2 Thessalonians 1:6. But you do hear in Matthew chapter 4, then shall be great tribulation. He adds the word great. And our Lord then speaks of immediately after the tribulation of those days, that the sun shall be darkened. In other words, as we noted this morning, the cosmic disturbances of the universe, the moon turned to blood, the powers of the heavens shaken. You see. Now, Mark, in his gospel account, says the same thing in Mark chapter 13 and verse 24. Now, whenever the word tribulation is found in a clear prophetic setting, it refers to the persecution of God's elect. And when we talk about God's elect, now, I didn't put the word elect in the Bible. There are people who hate that word, but I didn't put it in the Bible. God put it there. Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake. I endure all things for the elect's sake. And I've asked people, who are they? And they don't like to admit to the truth of the Word of God concerning the doctrine of election. But it is clear in the Word of God. Now, when the Word of God talks about the tribulation, he's talking about the persecution of God's elect by wicked man. Wicked men. And that's what you have in Matthew 24. The persecution of God's elect by wicked men. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, then let him which is in Judea flee. It is a Jewish setting there. The Great Tribulation. At that time of Great Tribulation speaks of man's wrath against man. The Great Tribulation is not God's wrath against man. It is man's wrath against man. Therefore, we can't call the whole of the 70th week of Daniel the tribulation. It doesn't fit. Now, the next thing is a question I have to ask. Does the Word of God teach that the Great Tribulation is 3.5 years in duration? That's the next question. Does the Word of God teach that the Great Tribulation is 3.5 years in duration? Before you answer yes, there was a time in my life I would have, but not anymore. In Matthew 24, our Lord says, for his elect's sake the days shall be shortened. We read that. Now, what is shortened? Daniel's 70th week isn't shortened. Daniel's 70th week is a total for, it speaks of 42 months. It speaks of a time and a time and dividing the time. I believe, friends, it is a tribulation period in the midst, or should I say, that takes up part of the final 3.5 years. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. In other words, I believe that it is that period of time that it takes the Jewish people in Judea, let him which is in Judea flee. It doesn't say let him that's in Washington flee. It doesn't say let him that is in Poland flee. It says let him that's in Judea flee. For that's going to be the cauldron of problems, and it is tonight. Our real problem in the world is Jerusalem, the nation of Israel, and God says it would be, as we noted last week from Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 3, I think it was, that he's going to make Jerusalem a burdensome stone in the hands of the nations, and every nation that troubles themselves with it, God is going to judge. That's what we read in Zechariah chapter 12. Now, God says, let him which is in Judea flee. And of course, from the 12th chapter of Revelation, we learn that God is going to provide a sanctuary for them in the wilderness, somewhere. There's some of us who believe that it will be in the city of Petra, the Red Rock City, but who knows? They're going to be protected. They're going to be protected by God. And we're told the length of time they're going to be protected. They're going to be protected for 3.5 years. We read that in the 12th chapter of Revelation. We read that tonight. There, that the woman, Israel, was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared by God to be fed, nourished for a time and a time and a dividing of time. Now, our Lord is teaching the modifiers for being cut short in Matthew chapter 25. He has reference to the tribulation. He has reference to the days of the tribulation. And the same is taught, by the way, in Mark chapter 13, verse 20. Daniel's 70th week is not shortened. But I believe the tribulation period is. Now, he says in Matthew 24, immediately, verse 29, after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. This morning we noted that this great cosmic disturbance takes place under the sixth seal, when our Lord opens the seven-sealed book of Revelation 5. In Revelation 6, he breaks the seals one at a time. When he gets to the sixth seal, we have the cosmic disturbances that our Lord speaks of here. And connected with the cosmic disturbances of the sixth seal, the next seal is the seventh seal, which contains the seven trumpets and the seven bowls of God's wrath, which is the wrath of God. Now, when you study the Revelation, you will find that the sealed judgments, if we may call them that, they are judgments, but they are the result not of God. They are not the result of the wrath of God, but rather they are the result of man's mismanagement of planet Earth. Man's mismanagement of planet Earth. And then when you come to the trumpet and the bowls of wrath, here we have